Gourd Macabre, a Cane and Feels fanfic, written by Shella688 and read by Katie Hart,
Sylvain, Lena Lollipop,
and the Casual Cheesecake.
Relationships: Brutus Fields and Lucifer Cane, Brutus Fields versus the Pumpkin. With additional tags for ghosts, lightly spooky, portents of doom, talking pumpkins, egregious misuse of 70s slang, egregious misuse of early modern English, egregious misuse of old English. You know, the usual. Wednesday. The pumpkin started speaking on Monday, and still showed no signs of shutting up. Fields sat with his bowl of cereal opposite the grinning gourd, and wondered when he should start worrying about it.
So,
he began. The pumpkin stared at him with its two little triangle eyes, and smiled with its half-circle mouth. Fields couldn't help but think he and Cane should have carved it a better face. Maybe it wouldn't have insisted on speaking exclusively in outdated slang. Well, okay, the slang wasn't too bad, and it wasn't like he or Cane had any leg to stand on there. At least they didn't make prophecies in it, though. The moral high ground was a wonderful place.
All I was loved is Lost Man, totally not groovy.
It was better than yesterday's booyahs. Feels like to think of himself as easygoing, but that had pushed him to limits he hadn't even known existed.
Mate,
he said,
you can't just threaten me with doom over my cornflakes.
It's not doom, dude. It's like the truth.
The pumpkin would have pouted were it not for the fact of it being entirely hollow. It was like dealing with a 7-year-old whose hobbies included foretelling the deaths of everyone around them.
Oh my gods, Cane,
he called out.
Cane, the pumpkin is threatening us again.
A muffled complaint came from the direction of Cane's room. It sounded suspiciously like,
threaten it back!
Fields heaved a sigh, flicking the gourd. It made a satisfying solid thunk. He knew for a fact Cane had nothing better to be doing. He knew even that Cane had things he needed to do in this very kitchen. Fields also knew the man had heard the pumpkin say amazeballs 2 days ago and had since avoided it like his life depended on it.
Scary pumpkins,
Fields said at last.
Don't sound like a surfer guy from the 70s. Dark prophecies shouldn't include the word groovy.
Or maybe they should have carved it something scarier. Given it sharp teeth to growl with, angry eyes to glare with, he still probably wouldn't be taking it seriously, but it could have helped. The pumpkin hadn't replied. For a brief, wonderful moment, Fields thought he'd gotten in the last word.
You'll be scared when the last midnight strikes, catch my drift? Don't blame me when they come knocking fourfold and you're bugging out too hard to get your boogie on and dance.
That doesn't even mean anything.
No reply from the pumpkin. Somehow, its carved mouth was smirking at him. He flipped two fingers at it, fighting off the sense that this conversation had been a competition he'd just lost. Thursday. It had been the kind of day where nobody did anything much important, and nobody felt that bad about it. Morning had been and gone, the evening was fast approaching, and through it all, the sky had remained a stubborn dull gray. Putting down his book and stretching out of the sofa, Fields heard multiple of his joints click.
Fancy a cuppa, Luz?
Cane glanced up from the floor where he had been hunched over a doll? Something doll-like, anyway. Fields decided he didn't need to know.
Is that awful pumpkin still in the kitchen?
Yes.
Then no, unless you're making it.
There was a capital I sort of implication to his words. Surely Cane hadn't... Who was he kidding? This was Lucifer Cane he was talking about.
Have you seriously not been in the kitchen since we carved that thing? What have you been eating?
Cane counted off on his fingers.
Your food, when you cook. Meal deals, mostly. Oh, and a packet of rich teas I found behind my jars.
Silently, Fields begged any gods paying attention to grant him strength. Aloud, he said,
okay, well...
Zoons, my knees are bleeding!
That wasn't from Fields. It certainly wasn't from Cane. The groan that fell from Fields wasn't entirely voluntary.
You're going to talk to it.
To his credit, Kane nodded a reluctant agreement.
I'm going to talk to it.
Fields settled back onto the sofa. They'd have to do something to that pumpkin soon, he knew. Whether that was to take its omen seriously, or throw it out with the rubbish and carve a new one before Halloween rolled around. For now, though, he was content to let Kane deal with whatever era of slang it had picked up most recently. The peace didn't last long.
How much do you know about the rate of pumpkin decay?
Kane called.
Never had to think about it. What's up?
I need a second opinion on something.
Sighing, he got up, wandering into the kitchen.
Yeah? What?
Upon reflection, Fields should have expected that something weird had happened to the pumpkin. Even so...
We only got it a bit ago.
Black mold speckled the flesh inside. Its eyes and mouth had sunken, shriveled, warped into a grotesque mockery of what once had been a smile. The scent of rotted pumpkin hung heavy and choking. No. Fields didn't know much about the rate of pumpkin decay. And yet...
Our kitchen is freezing. Like, constantly. No way should it be so rotten so fast.
I am not so dead yet!
It even sounded rotten, hawking up words like phlegm.
Oho! Art thou listening to me now?
Fields looked to Kane, who had pulled a notebook out from somewhere and was scribbling notes.
I don't know, man. Are we groovy enough to be worth talking to?
The pumpkin gave him a withered look. It cleared its non-existent throat in what Fields thought was a needlessly scornful manner.
When Pan's song echoes o'er hills and stone, and midnight breathes its last, hark a knock, hark again! Thou lovest the found, and shalt find the lost.
It didn't end its speech with a wink. It couldn't have. Fields refused to believe it. Friday. Kane struck a pose.
Thoughts?
The silence stretched out a good 5 seconds.
Those are the same clothes you wore yesterday?
Fields said at last. That was apparently not the correct answer.
It's my Halloween costume!
Kane protested.
It's a Rosy Garland-inspired look, but I could only make use of what I had already, plus a few good luck charms, which I don't think she does. Unless my instincts are incredibly mistaken.
Oh, yeah?
Fields hummed his acknowledgement.
Did you set yourself that challenge yesterday, too?
Kane grumbled, but couldn't help returning Fields' grin. It was Halloween. Kane couldn't be mad at anything for long on Halloween. There was barely a pause before he was off again.
I got a thing of sweets, too, for anyone coming around, and a little electric pumpkin for the window, instead of...
Kane bit off the end of his sentence, instead motioning towards the kitchen.
You know,
he whispered.
What?
Came the voice from the kitchen. Fields blinked.
That didn't sound like English.
It's...
Kane's head was cocked to one side.
Brutus, why didn't you tell me our pumpkin spoke old English? I need to... Do we know why it started speaking in the first place?
You said investigating a pumpkin that said R-O-F-L would ruin your street cred.
He waved away what Fields considered an entirely valid point regarding the pumpkin's status of still a huge bloody mystery.
The vaguely late Middle English yesterday was... good, but Old English? Brutus! Brute! That's the classic language to hear omens in. This is great!
Kane clicked his fingers a few times, marshalling his thoughts, before rushing away into his room. A number of clatters and bangs followed that were probably fine. Fields couldn't help the fondness that bloomed within him. He couldn't help the bile that rose in his throat when he entered the kitchen either. The rot was everywhere. All that remained of the pumpkin was thick mold. Its eyes, its mouth were collapsed in, barely visible. Overnight it must have liquefied, a thick brown gunk that covered the table, drip, drip, dripping onto the floor. One hand pressed against his mouth and nose, the other rubbed his eyes in disbelief.
God.
God?
Oozed the pumpkin, almost laughing.
I'll hear death for them.
The sound coated the back of Fields' throat, sticky and sour. Deep in the back of his mind, part of Fields tried to move, back away or get closer, he didn't know. Tried to shout, tried to do anything. The rest of him stayed frozen. The pumpkin spat out words he couldn't hear, words that crawled through the folds of his brain. Of course he hadn't taken it seriously. Even when the mold had gotten to it too fast, it was still their pumpkin. The one they had bought, had carved a smile into, had bickered with over language. If this was still their pumpkin, something had gone very, very wrong. He heard Kane approach, heard Kane stop in the doorway.
Luz?
He said quietly.
Luz, I think we fucked up.
And Sunday? And life happened, as life so often does, and the pumpkin didn't get moved because Kane wanted to study it, and the pumpkin didn't get moved because they got called out for a case, a proper case, and the pumpkin didn't get moved because they simply weren't there to move it. They hadn't meant to leave it for 2 days, but the quick day trip to make peace with some brownies had turned into an exorcism, and the time had slipped away like water. It was almost midnight when they finally got back to the flat, and Fields wanted nothing more than to collapse into bed and sleep for a week. He'd have to get past the pumpkin first. All the way up the stairs, he braced himself. As Kane fiddled with the lock, he dredged up whatever energy he had left. As Kane gave up on the lock, as he, grumbling, passed the key to Fields to have a go, as he finally got the door open, the dread mounted within him. And the pumpkin, with its rotten smile, said, nothing. No nothing like it stayed silent, but nothing as in a yawning, gaping absence. Fields picked his way through the dark lounge, felt for the kitchen light switch, winced as the light clicked on. The pumpkin was gone. Gone completely, too. No dark sludge on the table, no stray pumpkin seeds dropped on the floor, no more portents muttered into the corners.
Did someone nick our pumpkin?
Fields asked, for lack of anything better to say. Kane already had a tangle of string and small rocks in his hands and was staring at it intently.
None of my wards got tripped. For all intents and purposes, it just vanished.
Fields tried really, really hard to muster concern. If he had been less tired, maybe, or if he hadn't quietly been glad that it wasn't their problem anymore. If he had looked at the clock, if... Knock.
Your cane fell over, Luz,
he said almost instinctively. He heard rather than saw the frown in Kane's voice.
It's still folded up in my...
Knock. It was coming from the door.
No one was behind us when we came in,
Fields said. Now he worried. Now he had an idea of where this was going and wanted so desperately to be wrong. Kane was fiddling with his phone.
It's...
Knock.
Midnight.
They looked at each other, saw their thoughts mirrored on the other's face. Kane started pacing, tapping out a rhythm on his thigh, the way he did when he was thinking, planning.
The omens. What did it say to you?
It was 4 knocks at midnight, losing what you loved.
He stepped towards Kane without even realizing.
And finding it again. I think that's right.
Knock. A forced half-laugh came from Kane.
Well, we're about to find out.
The door didn't creak open. It didn't need to, not as the tall figure stepped right through it. It moved soundlessly, gracefully. Each step was careful, each motion delicate, like a ballet dancer who, even retired, never forgot the moves. Its posture straight, its shoulders back, its head missing. Its head missing. Its body... No, not quite. It was merely the idea of a body, pale blue and fragile as stained glass, Translucent shirt and trousers, translucent boots, translucent flesh. Whatever its reasons for being here, it seemed to know exactly where it needed to be. Kane tried to get in front of it, talking too quickly and quietly for Fields to make out. He was cut off mid-sentence when the figure walked through him. Fields, in the kitchen doorway, backed away hurriedly. He saw Kane through the figure, blurred and indistinct.
"Can we, help you?"
he said, tried to say. The words didn't come out right. The silence whistled in his ears. The figure paid no attention to him, turned instead to the table. The table, which had, only a moment ago, been empty. It was the pumpkin. Their pumpkin, with two little triangle eyes and a smiling half-circle mouth, and a form as intangible as the figure who stood before it. Ghostly hands picked up the ghostly pumpkin carefully, tenderly. The figure held it up, carved eyes staring into missing ones, then leaned the pumpkin towards it so they might have been pressing their foreheads together.
"All that was loved was lost,"
Kane murmured.
"That's what it said. You lose all you loved and find all that you lost."
It was talking about itself this whole time.
And it was smiling, too. A smile that seemed wider and more real than the face they had carved it. Suddenly, Fields was glad they had given it that face and not one of snarling teeth and sharp glares. The body fixed the pumpkin to its neck. Where they met, blue swirled into orange and orange into blue, so that it was impossible to tell where one began and the other ended. They. Two souls loved, lost, and now found once more. They turned and bowed to Cain. He returned with a bow of his own, and a whispered wish for safety, wherever they may find themselves next. Then to Fields. He prepared to bow too, caught sight of the pumpkin's face, of the pumpkin's wink.
"Fuck off, man,"
he said, laughing. And though the pumpkin remained silent, he could feel it laugh too. The body spread its hands apologetically, but Fields waved it away. He would have forgiven their pumpkin anything in this moment. One more look around the room. Then they were gone, passing through the kitchen wall like empty air. Fields ran to the window, Kane not far behind, craning to catch sight of them. Blue-orange light flickered across buildings as they went, moving across the wind like solid ground. Both hands cradled their head, like even now being connected they weren't close enough. Back side match, forward side match. They danced to a silent orchestra, a waltz written for two in one. And the glow faded as they danced on and on into the darkness, together at last. The end.
The end.
That was very silly.
That was a strange break for sure.
This is a good start.
Yeah. Relationships. Brutus kills.
Brutus kills over.
Portents of Droom.
Threaten a duck.
Feels. They'd have to do something to that pumpkin soon, he knew. Rather, that was to take its omen seriously. Fields settled back onto the sofa. They'd have to do something to that pumpkin soon, he knew. Rather, whether.
You keep doing that.
I know.
Wrapped into a grotesque mockery of what once had been a smile.
Warped.
Warped.
This is great!